Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
The book says love one another and as much as is possible, get along with one another. But you're going to have struggles. You're not going to find a perfect church. But get involved somewhere with a body of believers so when you go down, you're not by yourself. There is someone there to help you up.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title today is Help, I Need Somebody. And I want to read you something and see if you can identify with this. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. And now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate your being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please help me? And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please help me? And then it repeats. We obviously know who wrote this. The Beatles. And it's interesting to me, most songwriters, don't just, let's make up a song. A lot of times I think it really comes out of where they are and who they are. And I think something's going on here in this person's life. The title of the song is Help, I Need Somebody. That's a very difficult thing for people to say. I have a friend who's been in the hospital in the recent past. And this is going to be pretty, not graphic, but at least cut to the chase. And this person has had a rough time through life and had a hard time needing anybody. And she found herself sick at home and in so much pain that she literally could not get out of the bed to go to the restroom. Now, this is an educated person in a lot of pain, and her friends would come see her, and they'd say, are you okay? And she'd say, yes. And she was laying there in her own waste. And what that caused is an infection in her back that complicated her problem. So by the time she got in the hospital, she was in a heap of trouble, almost died from this thing. Now, think about this. There she is laying in the bed and is too nervous or proud or whatever the word is to say, look, I can't get myself out of this bed to go to the restroom. Help. I need somebody. Won't you help me? Now, it's not that no one would have helped her. It'd have been more. I mean, it's kind of a graphic thing and tough to do, but I guarantee you any number of people that were there, if they had known what was going on, would have tried to help her. There are lots of people out there who feel this way. At one point, I never needed anybody's help in any way, and now these days are gone. In other words, I need somebody's help. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I've opened up the doors. I'm willing to let somebody in and help me. I have countless conversations with people, whether it's drugs or alcohol, sexual addiction, whatever the deal may be. At some point in your life, you say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't go on by myself. I need somebody's help. And you'll find yourself either crying out to someone else or to God. Now, I've got a ton of verses here today, and I won't camp on all of them, but I want us to look at just some of the places. There's nobody in the Scriptures like David who cries out for help. King David in the Psalms, and I'm going to give you a sampling of these in the Psalms. In Psalm 22:11, he says to God, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." David felt sometimes like, God, you've got to stick with me because there is nobody else to help me but you. You ever feel that way? Your family's abandoned you, your husband, your wife, your kids, your work, your everything is gone. Psalm 22:19, "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me." God, help me. Psalm 27, and the whole chapter really, or 1 through 14, down in verse 7, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said," God said to him, "seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. In the Old Testament, he's praying, God, don't leave me or forsake me. And it's awesome in the New Testament that Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And guys, I don't know what that means to you, but that means a whole lot to me. People can die on you. People can leave. Anything can fall apart. But God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never abandon you. I'll never dump you. I'll never betray you. I'll never cheat on you. And then down in verse 13, David says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, what do you say to somebody who says, well, I've got nowhere else to go but God, and I've cried out to God, help. I need somebody, and God, you're the only one I need. You're the last place I have to go. You've got to do something, and nothing happens. Anybody ever feel like that? You cry out to God, and you don't hear anything, nothing happens? David says, wait on the Lord. You may cry out today, okay, God, I need your help, and you say, help me, I need somebody, and nothing happens. And tomorrow, nothing happens. And the next day, nothing happens. Well, let me ask you a question. If nothing happens for a week or two or three or a month or two or three, where are you going to go? Who are you going to cry out to if he's the only one you found or that's left to cry out to? If God doesn't do something, nothing's going to happen, right? So if you quit crying out to him and you quit waiting for him, where are you going to go? There is nowhere else to go. So my encouragement for you today is what he says here, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be patient. Because sometimes the answer's on the way, it's just not there yet. Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes God wants to teach you something while you wait. But don't stop crying out for help, okay? Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 38:22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Psalm 40:13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And see, even David's like, God, what in the world are you doing? Hurry up. I'm asking for help. You're not doing what I want done. Help me, God. I'd recommend you read this whole psalm sometime if you're taking notes. 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I think I've asked this before. When you get in trouble, where do you run? Do you run to the past? The things that used to fix it temporarily? Do you run to somebody that you used to run to that maybe fixed it temporarily? Or do you run to God who is your refuge and your strength? And I guess the real question is he your refuge? And is he your strength? See, the world today tells you all that you need, the answers are within you, right? Everything you need is somewhere within you. You need to find it. Let me tell you something. This is what I believe. If Jesus isn't in you, you got nothing in you. Jesus is the one that said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. You say, yeah, but I'm smart. Well, let me tell you something. You may be so smart, you don't know you can't do anything. You can't do anything. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Psalm 60:11. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. I think he was at a certain time in his life when he said that. But sometimes you say, you know what, God, there's nobody else that can help me. If you don't do it, it isn't going to happen. Everybody else's instruction, everybody else's encouragement, there's some kind of stuff, God, that only you can do. Psalm 70:5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Don't ever hesitate to keep hammering God. There's plenty of scripture in the Bible that talks about harassing God. Seriously, go at him. God, what are you doing? I'm patient. I'm trying to be patient. I've got courage. If I didn't, I couldn't keep asking. But God, where are you? What are you doing? I've got nowhere else to go. Psalm 94:17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. I'd have just given up, just gone silent. Psalm 119, and there's tons of stuff, and this is a long psalm, like 176 verses, starting in verse 173. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And then Psalm 121:1. This is great stuff. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know what I think we don't think about sometimes is who this God is. The Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you even consider? I mean, God, why would you even think about me? The God of the universe. I told somebody this yesterday. The Bible says that God holds the universe right here in the span of his hand, from the thumb to the middle finger. Our God is such an awesome God that he holds the entire universe. We don't even know where it starts or stops. We can't even find the edge of it. We're not with radio telescopes, Hubble, nothing. We cannot find the edge of this thing. And the Bible says that he holds it all right there. What kind of God is that? How awesome is that? And that is the God that I say help to. Guys, we pay too much attention sometimes to our surroundings, to our weaknesses, to who we are, not who he is. And sometimes it's just good to get in a closet somewhere and close your eyes and say, you know what? My God is an awesome God. And Father, if you made the heavens and the earth, you keep everything in orbit, you keep the earth close enough to the sun to keep us warm, but not far away that we'll freeze. You protect, you preserve, you sustain. God, if you can do all that, then you're bound to be hearing me say help. God, I got nowhere else to go, and I believe that you're awesome. And you start looking up to the hills, not down at your feet. You look where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You know, that seems like a simple thing. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to find in Scripture somewhere where God rests? And like there's a day of the week where he's really asleep. And you get in big trouble on Sunday or something like, well, I got to wait till tomorrow. He's asleep. Or try to wake him up. You don't have to wake God up. He's awake all the time. He doesn't slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Guys, I'm encouraging you, read this stuff. Open your Bible sometime and just read it. You say, but I don't get anything out of it. Just keep reading it. Sooner or later, you're going to get something out of it. Sooner or later, something's going to hit you right between the arteries, and you're going to feel something and know that he is God in a way you've never known. Psalm 124:8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, let me say something about the name of the Lord. There are a lot of words in the Bible, names given to the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. In the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, when you say, Father, help, in Jesus' name, you have just rattled the sky itself. And I never am ceased to amaze about this name thing. And people throw that name around. But I'm going to tell you something. When you speak it with authority and you go to the God of the universe and you say, Father, I have no right to be here, but I come in Jesus' name with boldness because he died for me. He was buried and raised from the dead. And because of that, I have eternal life, abundant life, and I want something done in his name. I am nobody, but he is everybody. And you told me to come in that name. Guys, you invoke that name. The Bible says he's given him a name that's above every name. And that one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the boss, that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there is no one that gets near him. Use that name. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 145. Verse 10 and following, but down in verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. God, I'm not just using your name. I'm coming and telling you, I need your help. I need your direction. I need somebody to help me. And I believe you can, or I wouldn't be here talking to you about it. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. You've got to believe that when you cry help, God hears you. Now you say, but I don't even know this God. I don't even feel like I'm in his family. Then say, God, help me in terms of eternity. Then cry out and say, God, I feel lost. What do people do when they're drowning? They flail their arms in the water. Even if there's nobody around, they're screaming, help, help. Somebody help me. They need to be rescued. They need to be saved. That may be where you are, but cry out help. God will send somebody. You can't imagine how many conversations I have. And I get into the conversation, and it turns out this person has been thinking about God. They've been thinking about Jesus. They've had questions. They're looking for an answer to eternity. And I'm just there. I start talking. You know what? I'm an answer to their prayer. Help. They don't know what to pray. And you come along, and God uses you to explain what it is they need help with, maybe. You are the answer to more people's prayer than you have any idea. And we hesitate when the Holy Spirit prompts us and says, say something. This person needs help, and I've sent you here to help them. So say something. Well, what if I screw it up? Let me tell you something. If somebody's drowning and you stand on the edge of the water and go, well, I might not rescue them in the right way. I don't want to do the wrong thing. Get in the dadgum water and help them. Psalm 146:3, do not put your trust in princes nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. He says, don't confide more trust in people more than you do God, basically. Now, here's a great passage. Some of you have read this, may be familiar with Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. When Rebecca and I went on our honeymoon, we took a pretty long honeymoon, and one of the places we got to go was Israel. And while we were in Israel, let me tell you what I saw. I looked around. There I am, a young, newlywed husband, and there were all these old men, old women, alone, in a bus, seeing Israel, or wherever else we went. You know what hit me? They'd spent their whole life, saved all their money. Somebody died, they cashed in the whatever and went by themselves. I don't know too many people want to go to Europe by themselves. It happens every once in a while. But most of the time you want to go on a trip with somebody. Why? You want to share the trip. You want to have somebody there to look at a mountain and go, unbelievable. And you come back home and they say, how was your trip? You say, I don't know, but you know, we know because we were there together. He says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's something about working as a team. I'm not very good at tennis. I can play, but I don't want to play tennis. You know why? Because I don't want to play by myself against somebody else. I'd rather be on a basketball team. Some people have a hard time being self-employed, or they sit at home and do that thing alone. Some people are great at it, but some people want to be on a team. There is reward in the labor you do together. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. Now, I keep going over this, I guess, week after week even. And I'm not even sure. I guess it's because I meet so many people who are sucking air so bad that I can't stop saying something about this. Do not live in isolation. You say, but I trusted people before and I got killed. I went to a church and they hurt me. Let me tell you something. Church can be a nightmare because, I mean, church would be a great deal if it wasn't for the people. But as long as there are people, and that's what makes up a church, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have stuff. But the book says love one another. And as much as is possible, get along with one another. But you're going to have struggles. You're not going to find a perfect church. But get involved somewhere with a body of believers so when you go down, you're not by yourself. There is someone there to help you up. You say, but I'm strong. You're closer to being in trouble than anybody I know. I can do it by myself. That works for two-year-olds, but it doesn't work very well for adults. Now, if you're an immature Christian, that's probably what you say. I can do it by myself. But God's going to allow your circumstances to get such that you will end up somewhere on your knees or on your face going, help, I need somebody. And the problem is it's going to take God longer to get somebody there sometimes because you're farther away from anybody than if you had just stayed in a group, in a pack, in a body of believers that are intended to be there to give you cover, shelter, encouragement, protection. It just works. It's in the book. If they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Me one-on-one with somebody, I may not win, but if there's two against one, I got a better chance. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. You take two strands of twine and twist them, you got strength. But you take three and weave a rope, you got some strength because there's three strands you're pulling against. In a marriage, it's you, it's your mate, and it's God. If it's just you and your mate, that's good. But guys, it's not as strong as you and God, that threefold strand, threefold cord. All right, let me read you just a couple in the New Testament. In Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When somebody around you is crying out for help, step in there and do something. I cannot tell you how many times personally and how many people I talk to that say, you know what, I thought it was going to be just a struggle and a problem and I was going to give up so much to help this person, but it blessed me 10 times what it did for them to be able to help somebody. Don't be so selfish. Don't get so caught up in your own stuff. You know what? When you get selfish and you don't help somebody else, then the day comes when you're in trouble and you got nobody. And I don't know how this thing works, but it almost seems that the people through their life who take care of other people, when it gets down to their turn, there's somehow there's people around them. I'm not sure what the principle is, but the bitter old people who protect themselves and get away and I'm not going to get involved, they die that way. Maybe because they never have given help and they don't know how to receive help. It is okay to need somebody's help. There's nothing wrong with that. It may not be the American way, guys, but there's a point where you've got to get somebody's help. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know where you're going, but I can guarantee you if you haven't or you don't, you will need some help. And some of you got personal stuff going on in your life, and if you don't get some help, it's going to destroy you. I've had a couple of calls from alcoholics in the last week or so that want to sit down and talk. You know why? Because they know they need some help, and if somebody doesn't help them, they're in big trouble. They're going to lose their families. They're going to lose their lives, maybe. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is you won't let go of, you won't reach out to somebody and say, help me. Some people won't go to church because they can't find the books of the Bible. They're afraid somebody's going to embarrass them because they don't know something. There's a big difference in being stupid and being ignorant. If you're stupid, you don't even know you're ignorant. But if you're ignorant, you just don't know and you can learn. So if you go to church and you feel uncomfortable, find somebody that you trust or know and say, look, I'm clueless about this. I need some help. I don't know where these books of the Bible are. And they say, well, here's a concordance in the front. Start where you are. Go with the basics, but get some help. Let somebody help you. There's some stuff I know a ton about, and you'd feel terribly insecure, but there's a lot of stuff you know tons about, and I'm the one that's going to feel insecure. But if I need your help, I got to say, look, I don't know anything about what you know. Could you help me? And most people are more than willing to help if they're asked, but the tough thing is most people are not willing to ask because we're too proud, and God will allow you to get to the place where all you can do is scream out, help, I need somebody. And frankly, the sooner the better, because your life will start changing then.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. And Father, there are people who, whatever the issue, maybe it's something they've been screaming help for and just need encouragement to have courage, to be strong, to be patient and persevere and wait for you to come through. And Father, for those who are in a mess and don't know where to turn or what to do, and they know they need some help and they just need to take that first step, they just need to cry out to you and say, God, okay, I need your help, that they would do that today. And Father, maybe for somebody, it could be their first day, and somehow this whole thing about God and His Son Jesus and the fact that He lived and died and was buried and raised from the dead, and they've never understood that eternity is a free gift, that we can have eternal life spent with You absolutely free. And they didn't even realize that, and they've been kind of screaming out help, and maybe today they hear the message that You love them, You've got a plan, a purpose, You can forgive their sin, clean their past, wipe it completely away, and give them a hope for the future and a life today. I pray that where they sit in this room, they just say, God, I need Your help. I know I'm a sinner. I need Your forgiveness. And I ask You to come into my heart, into my life. I receive this gift of eternal life. And I ask You to live in me and through me. I know I can't do it my way. It doesn't work. So God, I choose to do it Your way. And I ask You to help me, not only today, but till the day I see You in heaven. Father, thank You for being a very present help in time of need. And I pray that we'd find ourselves more every day, every minute of the day, crying out to You, help, God, I need somebody, and that somebody is you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. It makes it possible. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.